This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
Good afternoon. We're here today with Thomas Boyke, visiting fellow at the Center for Global Development. Mr. Boyke just launched a paper today at CSIS entitled Beyond Ratification, the Future for U.S. Engagement on International Tobacco Control. Mr. Boyke, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
This week, the Obama administration announced tough new ads on cigarettes, hoping to drive down smoking levels. In the lead up to the September 2011 UN Summit on Non-Communicable Disorders, which will certainly focus a great deal on tobacco, how important is it that the Obama administration put a higher focus on global tobacco control?
It's a critical issue, both internally and externally. So internally within U.S. government and within the global community. And I'll take those in pieces. Within the U.S. government, the U.S. government has long been a leader in global health. It is a rare area of political consensus in these increasingly partisan times. U.S. global health programs are highly visible and valued. They save lives abroad and increase U.S. credibility. The president himself, recently at the United Nations summit earlier this year, stated that global health and development aren't just moral imperatives for the U.S., and they're economic and strategic ones as well. Secretary Hillary Clinton recently also gave a speech where she identified humanitarian interests and economic and social development as the key drivers of U.S. global health investments. Few issues can compare with tobacco, with the humanitarian, the scope of the global tobacco epidemic in terms of humanitarian costs. Roughly 5 million people a year die from tobacco use. That's more than HIV, malaria, and tuberculosis combined. That number is expected to increase to 8 million in 2030 and up to 1 billion deaths, by the end of the 21st century. Economically, it consumes scarce healthcare resources and limits countries' abilities to address infectious diseases and other challenges, and really reduces economic development by consuming household budgets and robbing families of their primary wage earner. So that's the case for it, but it hasn't featured prominently so far in U.S. global health programs. It is intimately tied to improved tobacco control, is intimately tied to the success, improved success of those global health programs and achievements of existing global health objectives on disease prevention, on tuberculosis, on maternal child health and health system strengthening. And I think it's important to demonstrate leadership on this within the U.S. government to make sure that tobacco is integrated into those programs. Externally, U.S. leadership has a long history of priority setting for the international community and mobilizing resources. That's a critical issue in the lead-up, as you asked, around the 2011 UN Summit on Non-Communicable Diseases. Tobacco is in the top five related risk factors for virtually all non-communicable diseases. It is linked to the onset of a truly spectacular array of diseases from cancer, respiratory, to strokes, to childhood illness, to pregnancy complications. So it's very important that tobacco control, which has been proven to be successful, is seen as a key vehicle as part of that summit for making progress on this issue.
It looks unlikely that the U.S. will ratify the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control in the near term. In your paper, you argue that the U.S. can advance the global fight against tobacco even without ratifying the treaty. Can you explain this?
Sure. I think that you're right that the Framework Convention is unlikely to be ratified by the U.S. in the near term. President Obama is on record supporting ratification, but the administration has not submitted the Framework Convention yet to the U.S. Senate. This likely reflects more of a sour political climate, preoccupation right now with domestic challenges and increased wariness of treaties, rather than a specific lack of interest in the Framework Convention. I don't think U.S. Elections suggest that that's likely to change, at least in the next couple of years. However, I don't think that should stop the U.S. from working with the WHO, partner governments, NGOs, and foundations to achieve the potential of the Framework Convention. Increase U.S. support and resources for implementation of the Framework Convention in low- and middle-income countries where it's currently lagging would do more to would accomplish the same objectives as ratification, demonstrating U.S. commitment and leadership on tobacco control, and do more to advance tobacco control, really, than ratification would. The U.S. is already compliant with the Framework Convention. The importance of ratifying the Framework Convention is really in demonstrating U.S. commitment and leadership internationally. And that's something that can be achieved by having real resources and a tangible commitment to international tobacco control implementation, particularly where it's lagging in low- and middle-income countries.
And one possible solution you suggest in your paper to help regulate tobacco is to provide a tax on it. Can you explain why you think this might be successful?
Sure. To start, successful tobacco control programs require adequate and predictable resources. Despite recent commitments and the generosity of the Bloomberg Initiative and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, international tobacco control is severely underfunded, particularly in developing countries. 99% of the government's spending on tobacco control occurs in just 17 developed countries. Nearly 4 billion people live in countries that spend less than $20 million a year total on tobacco control. New sources of funding are needed. So what I propose in this background paper, today's event, is that the U.S. should seek a G20 commitment to institute a surtax on tobacco consumption to fund tobacco control programs, particularly in developing countries. To be effective, that surtax should be modest on a per-product basis. The WHO has estimated that a 5-cent per-pack tax in high-income countries would generate $4.6 billion. That amount would more than quadruple the current funding on global tobacco control. The surtax should be temporary. Low- and middle-income countries also have the potential to levy increased tobacco taxes and should do so in order to reduce their domestic consumption. And it should go into a dedicated fund administered by the WHO and the World Bank or an independent body. The purpose of this fund really should be to jumpstart Framework Convention implementation and help establish adequate domestic tobacco taxation systems. And it's true, make no mistake that imposing such a surtax would not be easy. In my view, it's not so much of a challenge of increasing the tax by that modest amount. The challenge really is spending it on international tobacco control. I think that in part comes down to high-level leadership. And certainly the United States has shown a willingness to do this on global health issues, and this being tied to so many priorities, I think there's a real potential appetite for that. And I think it's important to tie any particular tax to other socially popular programs. This has been done with success in Canada and Australia and certainly is an avenue for helping improve public receptivity to taxes going to this purpose. This is explaining the benefits ex ante and really linking it to something that those populations can feel.
Well, Mr. Wojcie, thank you so much for joining us today. For anyone interested in reading the full report, you can visit www.smartglobalhealth.org and go to publications. Thank you.
Thank you.